The names of the interviewers are Jake Starting for the Grandchildren of the Blitz, which the place of the interview is London Bubble. The date of is the 15th of no. It is November 2010.
Can I?
Sorry, it's not picking up.
I did a bit of your bit, I'm sorry.
Can I ask you the place and date of your birth, please?
The place where I was born was Seven Step Alley. The date of my birth is the 10th of the 4th, 1929. I was 20. I was 10-year-old when war started, and more or less 11-year-old when the Blitz started.
Okay, thank you. Can you tell us a bit about rationing during the Blitz?
Rationing, well, as more or less an 11-year-old, I didn't know a great deal about it. I know that my mother seemed to manage all right, and the only bit I was interested in really at the time was my sweet ration, which I had done very nicely because I had my dad's, my mum's and my grandfather's, as well as my own. So I was all right for my sweet ration.
Thank you.
Did you have any treasured possessions at all?
Very few. Very few. Not really, I could say that I had any treasured possessions. No, not really. The only thing that I could say that my house was friendly to animals. We had chickens, we had rabbits, we had cats, we had a dog. So, more or less, that was it.
Okay.
Can you tell us a bit about, if you did go to school, can you tell us a bit about it?
Well, when war broke out, most of the schools all around here closed because they evacuated. So I ran wild for a solid year, no education at all. Just towards the end of 1939, it was what they called the phony war, and nothing was happening, so they started to open the schools for half a day. So I went more or less three half a days a week. I went half a day on a Monday, I think it was, I went to Southwark Park Road. Then I went to Keaton's Road for half a day. Then I went to what they called Riverside School, I believe they called it now. But it was called Falcon Street School when we were there. So they were the three half days I went to different schools. Regards as teaching, I'm afraid it was more or less like play because there was very few teachers. In fact, I lost completely everything of an education during the war because I didn't go to evacuation. And there was a lot, afraid there was a lot of them, children like me. We just merely lost out on everything. And that was basically it. Then the Blitz came and then they closed the schools down again. And then Keaton's Road School was bombed on the second night of the Blitz because that was a tragedy because they moved people from round town where it was all the dock area was being bombed. They moved them to there. I'm afraid a lot of them got killed in Keaton's Road because it got received a direct hit. And that, so the schools closed again. And they more or less closed until more or less after the Blitz and into 40, 41. Then we was the only boys class into a girls' school, which was St Mary's. And I felt sorry for my poor teacher, because he was teaching boys from 7 year old to 14, all in the one class, and there was about 40 of us. So you can see there was no... The only thing he gave us a good grounding of Shakespeare, because I learned quite a lot about Shakespeare and plays, different plays, which we'd done acting, we acted them. But regardless of the 3 hours, that went by the board.
Would you have liked to go to school during those years? Are you a bit upset that you missed out?
Well, yes, I think I lost out by not receiving a good education. But as I say, I was only one of many. There was a lot of children who didn't go to evacuation that did lose out considerably on their education.
Oh, were the animals and pets that you had kept in the shelters with you?
No. No.
So they got bombed?
No, none of them never got bombed. My house never got bombed. I never went to the shelter. I only went to the shelter we went into the shelter the first Saturday afternoon of the Blitz. The Saturday night of the Blitz. The Saturday night of the Blitz, the top of the alley where I lived that got bombed, and the house on the wharf next door, because we was in a place called Foster's Wharf. And all the bricks fell against the door and we couldn't get out. The policeman and the rescuer had to dig away, pull the stones away. And luckily enough, the door opened inwards, so as we had to climb out over the stones with the gap they left. And then we had to walk right along the riverside, along the wall there, which was Rotherhithe Street, to a place called Fisher's Wharf, where we spent the night until the all clear went in the afternoon. We was told then that the alley where I lived was bombed. But then, when we got home in the morning, it wasn't. It was only just the top houses that were bombed. So my house where I lived, number 5, Sunset Valley, was quite all right. All our chickens was okay. The rabbits was okay. The dog was okay. Well, the dog was all right because he was with my father, who was... He worked for a garage called Hamilton's Garage, and he was there manning the pumps to feed the fire engines and ambulances. And that was one of the pumps in the area. Because just down the road here was the auxiliary fire service in the school where more or less Time and Talents are now. And then they went, and then it became the ambulance, the auxiliary ambulances. Was stationed there, so that was their point of filling their tanks up to carry on.
Okay, thank you for that. We're going to move on from that subject now to celebrations. Can you tell us a bit about celebrations during Blitz? Did you still have them?
Celebrations?
I know it's a bit of a hard time, but do you still celebrate things?
They used to try to give us a little Christmas party, I suppose you would call it that, during the shelters. But as I say, after that experience of the Saturday afternoon and the Saturday night and the following day in the wharves, my mother said, no, we're not going to go to the shelters anymore. So we remained in the houses. The only thing that I used to have to do, I used to have to take my grandfather, because he was very nervous of the Blitz. I had to take him to the shelter, which was Platform Wharf. That was the big shelter. Now I'd take him there, then I would come back. And we'd sleep. If the raids got too heavy, my mum would wake me up, and then we would go down into the kitchen and sit there until it cleared a bit. Then I'd go back to bed. basically that was it. And as I say, celebrations, yes, we celebrated Christmas as far as we could. Usually they used to, how can I say, save their Cubans a bit for Christmas to buy a little bit extra so that you could have a family gathering, which we basically did, but that wasn't very much because, as I say, my brother was in the Navy, my other brother lived round town, which we refer to as round town, and he was a warden and everything there, so it wasn't much of a celebration. Not until after the Blitz, when it sort of, the lull became, when they only used to have what they called sneak raids. They'd come over here a bit in daylight, couple of the German planes would fly low over the radar and sort of stir up a little bit of trouble. And that's when, never personally happened to me, but some friends of mine came out of school, because they say we was the one boys class in St Mary's, and they went over to the library and the warning went, they didn't hear it. When they came out, the plane went down to Lower Road, machine gunning, and then dropped the bombs on what they called the Red Lion, and they hit the bank, and several people were killed there, and that was that. And they called him over, they called him back over at Dover.
And so were they raids without warnings, would you say?
Sometimes that particular one, no, the warning didn't go, apparently, because he, as I say, sneaked under the radar, and apparently they called him, we were told after a while, they called him back, going back over France, going back over the Channel, they called him, but of course the damage was done then, you know, and the, more or less coming then, I started work at 14, and that's when I started work as an apprentice shoemaker. But basically it wasn't really apprentice shoemaker, I was just mainly repairing army boots, and I worked my way up.
Thank you for that, Len.
The few times that you did go in the shelter, what did you play, any games at all? Did you play?
Yes, we did. But this was, as I say, there was quite a few of my mates that didn't go away evacuation. There was my cousin who lived next door to me, he didn't go evacuation. There was our friends who lived in park buildings, some of them didn't go evacuation. So there was quite a little crowd that I knew in Platform Wharf. The sad part of it, that when I stayed at Platform Wharf, I wound up catching my scabies, because they found that there was a man in there who had scabies, and he infected about a dozen. Then we had to wind up going to the cleansing station in the Bermondsey Town Hall, and I had to be stripped off. And I used to go there every morning, and they stripped off, then I was bathed, and I was smothered in this thick grease. It just looked like grease anyway to me. And I'd be like that, and then they'd support me, clean underclothes back on again until it cleared up. And then, as I say, then my mother definitely said, no more shelter. And that was that bad experience. But I still went in there during the day then, or during the night, until it more or less, about 6 o'clock when the warnings was just, as I say, going to start, but then, as I say, it was a lull then, so we didn't get any air raids for quite a while. So I used to stay up there till around about 8. Then I'd go back home. And my cousin used to come with me.
Can you tell us a bit about your family?
My family, right. My mum was a very nice mum. I had a sister. I had a brother who was in the Navy. My older brother was a warden because I am the youngest of the family and there was 11 years difference between me and my next brother who was in the Navy. My family originally had 8, 4 boys and 4 girls, of which, sad to say, 3 girls died and a brother was drowned in the Thames. That was young John, but they were before I was born. Yes, it was interesting family. I could say that I had a very good upbringing. I was what they called a street urchin, because I didn't like being indoors. So I liked to roam the streets and play in the streets. Because then, unlike now, the streets was our playground. We played cricket in them, we played football, and there was a stretch. There was a stretch of Paradise Street that was smooth tarmac, and that used to be their skating rink. A lot of the kids used to bring their roller skates and just skate round and round on that because, as I say, it was smooth asphalt. Otherwise, it was cobbles most of the rest of the time. Yes, as I say, I had a good upbringing. I enjoyed every minute of it.
You mentioned that you had brothers and sisters. I've got brothers and sisters too, and sometimes we get along. How was it with your brothers and sisters?
Most of my brothers and sisters were a lot older than me.
Oh.
See, I had nephews as old as myself. And cousins as old as myself, because they were all in the same. My young cousin Tom, his family were all in the war because they were a bit younger than my family. All his family had, there was Ernie in the army, Charlie was in the Navy, Bill was in the army, Harry was in the Navy and Jim was in the Navy. So he was, as I say, all his brothers and his ones, he had only had the one sister. My sister had 2 boys and they were, as I say, just a bit younger than me. So they became my friends. They became my family, more or less.
Thank you.
What did the war change the way you look or see things?
What changed me during the war, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, I don't suppose. It made me aware that there were dangers. It also made me aware to become very more or less self-sufficient and more confident, because I more or less had to be, because there wasn't anything that you could do about it. The only thing that helped us and all during the war is time and talent there. They opened a club along Rotherhithe Street, and that was called the Queen's Club, and we used to go in there from, say, if we wasn't at school, we'd go in there during the day. And that took the relief off of everything, because we used to do models, we used to do cooking, we used to do sort of little things, puzzles and everything like that. Everything to keep you amused and to keep you more or less occupied, to stop you thinking about the war.
Did you have any religious beliefs at all? Do you?
Did I have any really religious beliefs? Yes, I still have. My mother was chapel or London City Mission, and she was a strong believer in that, the mission. I became a choir boy during the school. When we were disabled, I became a choir boy at St Mary's Church. Yes, I had a strong belief. I still do have a strong belief in religion. I believe there is a God, and there. He can't make all things all right. There, a lot of people blame him for different wars, but my belief is that a lot of the wars is called through man, not through God. Man's greed, man's what can you say? His failures in himself, because although he gets ambitious, he doesn't somehow always control that ambition, and it lets him run away with it, and he does things that he probably wouldn't do. Of course, there was persons that went beyond that, Hitler and Germany. If you're looking at the Holocaust and everything, what they've done to the Jews, yes, that were really evil people. And we didn't know about that until more or less after the war, when they invaded, Second Front came in, and the war was invaded. We knew about the Russians and everything because we were shown on newsreels, because there was cinema still open. Very few of them closed, actually. And that. The bombing, yes, the bombing was the first Saturday afternoon of the Blitz. I was sitting at the top of the alley where I live, or rather the bottom part of the alley where I live, because there was a stone block that used to keep, because at the bottom of the alley was Rendell's garage, and they used to have awesome carts. So this stone was there to stop them bumping into the house that was there at the top of the alley. So me and my grandfather were sitting there when we saw the planes coming overhead and looking at them. Then all of a sudden, boom, we heard the bombs. And that's when they hit Lower Road, all along Lower Road by the tunnel there. And then several places. Then we dived for a shelter that was between, at the top, Fulford Street, where I live, opposite us was a place called Park Buildings, and they were four blocks of flats. And they built these shelters in between the two blocks of flats. That's where we run for. And that's where I've spent the first Saturday night of the Blitz. And that made a big, big, big impression on me. Because I shall never forget that night. Not because of the bombing, but because basically I see how frightened people were. Because there was some families there sitting there with their rosary, you know, which was how can I say? It was, wound me up, tense, made me feel tense to see grown-up people doing that, because I'd never seen it. My mum never did it, because as I say, she was chapel, so she never done rosary or anything like that. So when I see all these people, I mean, I was saying to my mum, what are they doing? What are they doing? Like, you know, she was kind of me, shh, 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 like that, quietening me down. And then we went out in the morning. And then I said on a Sunday morning, what was that they were doing? And my mum always told me the truth and told me, and she said, well, that was their rosaries. And she said they were Catholic. People were Catholics. And she said, like Aunt Kate, which I had an aunt who was a Catholic, she said, and that was their rosary, and they were saying their prayers, each prayer for the thing, you know. So that, as I say, always given, had a very big impression on me in that respect. Then, as I say, then the following Sunday, we went into, as I told you, Foster's Wharf, when the top of the alley got bombed and Yardley's got bombed, but they couldn't take us to Platform Wharf because Yardley's Wharf was blocking one end of Rotherhithe Street, so we had to march right along to a place called Fisher's Wharf. And then in the morning we went back and they said the alley was bombed, but it wasn't, it was only the top part of the houses. No.
So would it be fair to say then that the first night of the Blitz, the memory of that has lived with you until today?
Yes.
And I sense that from the way you're telling the children the story.
Yes,
I sense it from the tone of your voice.
It was really, it was something that I'd never experienced. And it made a great impression on me. And it still does to this day, because sad to say, a lot of them people said the rosaries, but they weren't true Christians. They'd done some bad things. But that's another story.
Thank you.
What did you like doing when you were a child?
That's a funny one, that. Like playing cowboys and Indians. Because during that particular time, cowboys and Indians, soldiers, was all the thing, and there was plenty of ruins where we could go in and out and have great fun. Because nobody told us, oh, you can't do that, or you mustn't do that, because they were all derelict bombs. Another thing, most often, most raids, we used to go around the streets collecting shrapnel and that. And various little things like that. And while Yardley's Wharf was being burnt, because it burnt for over a month, they just played hoses on it. So we used to play boats with the water running down the hill and into the drains. We used to build dams, and then the firemen had to come along and kick them up because we made big puddles and that. So yes, it was all things like that. And that, but then as I got older, then different things, as I say, then I went to club, then football, handball and all things like that, yes, and taught us different things. So he taught us how to cook. Boys were taught how to cook as well as little girls, and then so we used to make model aircraft, different models, puzzles, and don't play billiards, snooker, because it was all provided by time and talent.
So puzzles and snooker and things like that are still things that are played today, so it is kind of carried.
No, they don't play half the games that we used to play. For some reason, I don't know. We, in school, when we, as I say, when we started going back to school, we used to play a game called Wee Courses. Now, I've only ever seen that mentioned once. We used to call it Jimmy Jimmy Knacker. So what you'd done, you had the boy stand against the wall. You split into two teams, right? The boys stood against the wall, then the others put their heads, shoulders, and made like a horse. Then the other crew would run and leap and jump onto you, expand you, right? Then you'd all have to hold on, they'd say, Jimmy, Jimmy, Naka, one, two, three. But if you collapse before that, they used to call that weak horses, so you had to do it again. And that was that. Then they used to play, tin can copper. That was another thing. Now that was, you had a tin can in the middle with two sticks. Once again, two sides were split up. And then the side who was right, you had to bounce the ball to hit the tin can. When the tin can rushed, your team would go away. Run an eye, not particularly eyes, you just ran an eye. Then your team, who was opposing, would have the ball, and then they would chase you and throw the ball at you and catch you. So that was, when they caught all of you, then you start again. Quite painful sometimes, because you had someone throw the ball a bit hard. And then there was the skipping. Now, the only play I've heard it played, we used to play skipping with the girls. The farmer wants a wife. Have you heard that one?
Yeah.
Hey? Well, that was what the girls used to play, and then we'd play with them. And I'm the farmer, and then the other one was the similar one. It's different. We used to play that by ourselves when the girls wanted someone to play with and not us. We was playing football, then they'd all form a circle, and then they do the self-same thing, and then you go round. You know, she'd blindfold and she'd twist around like and point like that. And then if you fingered in, then you go into the circle. You was the farmer's wife. But as I say, then I learned to play two balls up the wall with the girls. So there was various games we played, like, you know. In fact, they were good games, you know. Nothing violent. You know, the only other thing sometimes... when you was playing tin can copper, things run away with you. We'd go through the tunnel, walk through the tunnel, go all round over the bridges, and they'd still be chasing us. They'd come all the way back again. So as I say, we was this little band of street rakers.
It sounds really fun. I bet it was. What were the main things you had to stop doing when the war started?
Little boy 11, there's very rarely anything that you stop doing. The only thing, as I say, basically my education was thing, but other than that, there was the world was your oyster, to put it crudely. You didn't. Mum liked to keep you near her hand. Don't run away. My mum, where are you going? What's that? But my mum never laid the heavy hand on me. She never forced me that I had to do, as long as I told her. But then my mother was a peculiar woman, because the simple reason, it used to baffle me, and it baffled me till the day she died, how she knew where I was without me telling her. Because when I was older, and I'd go out with the boys, and she used to turn around and say to me, "Oh, did you have a nice time at the New Cross Pally last night?" And I used to say, "Well, how did you know I was at the New Cross?" And she used to go like that. And so, as I say, and it still baffled me to the day she died, how she ever knew where I was. But she always did.
Yeah.
And then all the only other thing she used to say to me when I was older was, "Be careful."
My mum's a lot less the same with today. My mum and other parents, they still say that today.
Yeah, oh yes.
Yeah.
Len, do you mind me asking, did you lose anyone close to you in the Blitz? It missed maybe a family member or a neighbour?
Yes, I lost two cousins. They were killed in the Blitz, my Aunt Kate, my dad's sister, she lived at Charlton, and the house where she lived got a direct hit, and they was in the Henderson shelter, and she was badly injured. Her other daughter was injured, and she had a little boy and a girl killed.
Then. And at what age were they?
They were more or less, from what I can gather, because I didn't know much about this until after the war. They were around about 11, more or less the same age as I was, yeah. And that. And Joni was the one that got badly injured with her mother, and she told me that when I met them again after the war, because we didn't, you know, Charlton, and that was a thing that you knew of them, but you somehow never used to be in touch with families. Not how you are now. You had no phones or no mobile phone or no contact with them. It was a letter. And I remember my mum receiving a letter to say my Aunt Kate had been injured, and she'd lost, I forget their names now, but she'd lost two children, and Joni, her other girl, was injured, because most of the others was her sons, two sons and a daughter, were in the forces. Her eldest, you know.
Well, thank you for that,
Lynn. Has your area changed since the war? Has your area changed since the war?
Has the area I lived with? Tremendously. Absolutely tremendously. And it's still changing. Because where I live now is the big grass mound over there, the grass hill. Where I got married is completely knocked down, and we were moved into where I live now. I lived in Lucy Way now for 35 years. And yes, it's changed. The area I live now is changed drastically, because where I worked is now all houses, because I worked in the docks. I was a dock worker for 34 years. And that's now completely built over. The other docks in London, the Albert, the Royal Docks, the King George V, the Albert and the KG, Albert Victoria and the KG, is now London, City of London Airport. So yes, basically, I mean, I would say to people that if you moved away now for a month, you'd come back and you wouldn't know where you were. And that's how basically it's changing. Everywhere is changing. Jamaica Road is no longer the road that I knew when I was little, because now it's a double arterial road and it leads right to Dockhead, and then it becomes Tooley Street and a one-way system. Where I used to go to a cinemas at the Bricklayers Arms is a massive great roundabout now. There's no cinemas, there's no nothing, just a big roundabout leading down to the Old Kent Road. Most of the Old Kent Road was lovely shops. There's nothing down there now. They're all takeaways, fruit shops, you name it, what they are. So, yes, it's changed drastically. The sad part was that the change would have been gradual had the war not come along. Because we definitely knew things were going to change, because the idea of extending the park down to the river was on the old LCC's plans before the war. So yes, we knew that was going to happen, but the rate of change didn't happen until more or less coming up to the 50s and the 60s. Then you had that massive great change of everything being pulled down. There was, because then I became interested in politics, and there was no thought of consultation and asking people, it was just bulldozed. And we had a lot of trouble and war, but that's another different story. I'm going away from now.
Okay. As you said, it's changed. It might be a bit of a harder question to answer, but would you prefer how it was in London before or now?
Well, that's an hard question, that one. Standard of living and people's attitude. Standard of living, yes, I would rather I'd now. But if you ask me the way people were and the way people used to be, yes, then I liked it then. Mm. Because there was more community, there was more sense, which I'm afraid that you children don't have today. We could walk about when we was kids because everyone knew you. If you was in trouble, somebody would say, "Oi, what are you doing to that child? Or what are you doing?" Because they knew you. And you could go, say, basic learning. But people had a caring attitude more then. All right, people used to say, but they were, you can't do this, you can't do that. Now you can't. But I received a clip round the ear hole from a stranger because I was doing something wrong. But I daresn't go home and tell my mum that Sir Mr. So-and-so had spanked me round the ear, because if I did, she'd say, "Oh, well, you bump, there's another one, because you must have been doing something wrong for the gentleman to hit you. Or smack you, not hit you, really, you know." And it was the same as... Now you have community wardens. We had a community policeman, and our local policeman was Mr. Bulmer. He was a local policeman around here. Everybody knew Mr. Bulmer. And if you was doing something wrong, Mr. Bulmer would say, "Do you want me to tell your dad? Do you want me to smack you now? What do you want to do? Or run you down the neck?" So you'd say to him, "All right, Mr. Bulmer," and he'd boss you on the bum with your, with his cape. But you knew full well that he was going to tell your dad. And when you went indoors, your dad would either give you a telling off. I've seen Mr. Bulmer, and he said you was jumping behind carts, riding on the back of the cart, pinching the oranges. So that was that. That was before the war started. You know, used to do that. But that's how it was. It was a community. And if you are say to me now, would I prefer that community? Yes, to what it is now. But I have a better standard of living now than my parents ever did. I have a greater caring than my parents ever did. Because my parents came in the age before the war, where you got no assistance. You had no national health and welfare system. And I don't know if you know it or if you've heard it through local history. The system was the RO. And that was a form of assistance. But the man would come round from the RO and say, "Well, those pictures can be pawned. Pawn them. And you've got bread on the table. So you don't need much if you've got bread on the table." Now, I didn't notice that very much because I was young coming up. But that was the system before the war. So yes, community-wise, a caring community, yes. As it is now, far better. And that's what I would... But you can't have both. So you lose your community and you have a better standard of living. Sad to say.
Yeah, I found that.
Do you think you have anything else to about the Blitz? Or Len, what about you?
Any stories?
The Blitz. The Blitz, yes. The most frightening thing of the war was the V2s. Because you never knew when they were coming. The flying bombs, yes, I see a couple. I had quite a couple of airy experiences with the flying bombs. One particular day, we never heard the warning, me and my nephew, because he was a soldier, he was the same age as me. We were just coming out of the alley, and lo and behold, there's a flying bomb cruising down Fulford Street. So we dived back in the passage. But if Yardley's Wolf had still been there, we'd have heard the bang, but it went between Yardley's Wolf, where it was bombed, and went into the river, went across the river. And then the other thing was, when I started work, I was coming home from work, and lo and behold, everybody was running, and I was on my bike pedalling, and I had to look up, and there was a flying bomb coming along. As I was pedalling along and he was going along. But lucky enough, the engine was still going. And as I turned up, we heard the engine cut and it went somewhere over the water again and exploded. They said it just went into the Thames and exploded. So I had quite a few, two little peculiar experiences that way, you know. And they were
near misses.
They wasn't near misses. I mean, that was just thing. And the other thing was, the funny experience was, once again, the warning had gone. Me and my cousin, my nephew rather, hadn't heard it, and we were getting pies and mash in the basin to bring round for our dinner. This was, and of course, we turned into Fulford Street, and there was my sister running towards us. And just as she got towards us, we heard the bombs coming down. So she pulled and was holding the pie and mash, the pie and potatoes in, spilt. Boom, we heard the bombs go down. And they went somewhere in the park. We heard that they'd exploded in the park. And we still managed to save the pie and mash. So that was that. You know, little funny experiences like that. But yes, the war, as I say, for 11-year-old and 10-year-old, some was fun, some was serious. It depends what way you took it. There was a lot of people, little boys, who were very, I mean, I had a very good friend. He was very nervous. He was terrible, really. And eventually they did take him away to evacuation because he was really bad. Like, you know, it was sad because he was nice kid, but it's how your parents accept the war. I mean, my dad was in the First World War, and he used to be their man in the pumps for there during the raids all the time, you know, he was there, and my mum never showed me fear. She probably was frightened, but she never showed it to me. She never showed me fear. She might have said, if the bomb dropped a bit close when we was indoors, oh my God, she might have said that. But that was the only thing that I ever heard her say. She never, as I say, that particular day in the evening in the shelters, she was quite calm actually. She was very calm. And when I was saying about the roses, she was going, shh, shh, you know. But she, you know, as I say, her attitude, and she laughed when I was talking to her over the phone. My mum would never let me go to evacuation. When I asked her why, she said, well, if we're going to die, we'll all die together. So, you know, that was her attitude. And that's how she was. And I loved her for it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Not really.
Do you have any other questions?
No, not really.
No?
Thank you.
advice you would like to tell the children? Or do you think?
Well, as I say, the saddest part, really, the war as a whole, it lost children a great deal, because up until from the 1920s to the 30s, things were gradually getting better. There was more work about, men were getting more money, and they was gradually getting better from the 20s, from the Depression, and then the war came. So younger children, their dads taken away from them, some lost their families. Yes, it created a lot of havoc, but then we gained something from it. We gained that we became more, how should I say, expected, looked forward and wanted that bit more than our parents had. So you worked for it a bit more. You went to work. I started work at 14. My pay was 10 shillings a week, of which I gave my mum the old 10 shillings and she gave me back half a crown. But that was a lot of money to me. I didn't smoke at 14, as a lot of people did. And so you worked. My father died in 1948. My grandfather died in 1942, during the war. So, I lost two very good friends, especially my grandfather. Because he was everything. He taught me a lot of things. He taught me how to do woodwork. He taught me how to make a lot of things. Because he was of that era, he made everything. He made me guns during war, wooden guns when I was little to play with, you know. And made my scooters for me with ball bearing wheels. He made my carts when we used to find pram wheels and make carts and push. He made all those things for me. So yes, I lost a great friend and everything. And he didn't only make them for me. He made them for a lot. A couple of my mates he used to make scooters for. And that, because he was that way. He'd been in the dock. He was in the 1889 dock strike. But prior to him being that, he was a ship's mast maker. So he was a carpenter in a way. Basically all with a penknife. Never great tools, but penknife. And that, yes.
Thank you.
Yes, I had a great upbringing.
Thank you, Len, very much for telling us your story. Very valuable experiences of the Blitz.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
The sad part, as I say, is that you gained friendships and you lost friendships.
Yeah.
The circle of friends that I made going to club, the Queen's Club, from a young boy, I still were up to now. The sad part now, I'm losing a lot of them.
Yeah.
But there you are, that's life.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.